Welcome back to the Roundtable. In 2010, two beer bloggers stumbled across an early 19th century advertisement for Albany Ale. But what exactly was Albany Ale? That question took them on a journey through history spanning nearly 400 years from the arrival of the first Dutch brewers to the 21st century. Along the way, they have rediscovered the city's mid-19th century phenomenon, this double-strength ale, double X, brewed across the city and exported around the world, known as Albany Ale. Growing since 2010, this international research endeavor has been dubbed the Albany Ale Project and is focused on bringing the history and stories of an industry that helped build the capital city of New York to light. Joining us this morning is Roger Savoy of Hennessy Homebrew Emporium and Ryan Demler of the Pump Station in Albany. Gentlemen, thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having us.
Pleased to be here.
Alan McLeod and Craig Gravina were the two who stumbled across this. So what do we know about Albany Ale?
In regards to, I guess, my main involvement here, we're looking at the Albany Double X Ale, which we're looking at the Amstel Brewing Company, which the Albany Institute of History and Art has been kind enough to curate those recipes for a while. But it was essentially a relatively unique ale style to our region. It was brewed with six-row malt, which was popular brewing back then. It's a high protein malt, has a lot of enzymes in it, and it allowed them to use corn. And then they used kind of just whatever was kicking around. So a big thing in early American brewing, and it kind of translated over from British brewing, was the heavy use of sugars or corn syrup. So this is a relatively strong, we're looking like 6.5% to 7.5%, pretty dark, very malty beer with minimal hop character.
So, Roger, your involvement in this is interesting because a lot of homebrewers want to replicate what that double X ale is or was.
Right. We got involved with this a little later, after we talked with Ryan about scaling this down to a homebrew size batch, we've developed that, and it's in our current flyer, and we have some other fun things that we are going to be doing with the pump station, such as doing a tasting. So if people that have brewed the beer come to November 10th, I believe it is, Craig is going to be talking about the project, and then we're going to have a tasting where people who have brewed it will taste it off blind against Ryan's beer. So we wanted to do this before somebody else tried to, you know, once a beer gets out there, somebody tries to make it. So we wanted to make sure that this was actually a realistic representation of the beer before somebody else got out there with another version of it.
You know? Even though it's taken us 400 years to get around to this point.
Exactly. Yeah. So it looks like it could be a lot of fun. We haven't done this before, and we don't know how it's going to work out. It's a little more involved for a home brewer, but it's certainly doable with no problem.
Okay, so let me ask the million-dollar question here. Is it any good?
Well, we were looking back at the old recipe, and as somebody who's very much involved and a believer in where we are now in terms of beer drinking, I believe that beer is better now than it ever has been.
Okay.
So there's, you know, prohibition is a distinct reason why we don't have Albany Ale being brewed anymore. A lot of it is, just looking at the recipe, there's a lot of sugar in it, and then there's minimal hop character. And in the States now, I mean, we have relatively less sweet beers, so better attenuated, I would say, and then relatively hoppier and more bitter beers. So this is going to be part of kind of this fine line that we have to walk. Ideally, you know, we want it to be as accurate and a representation as the beer of the time, but we have to make sure that it's suited to what we're doing today. So it's going to be awesome.
Yeah. No, just looking at the recipe, you know, if you've been brewing a while, you can get a feel for how it's going to, you know, taste.
Yeah.
And this there's nothing objectionable in there, and it's going to be fine. It's going to be a great beer.
Yep.
And it would be, it'd be an English style, more of an English style beer than a current American type.
I'm curious as to two things that you mentioned, Ryan. One is sweetness.
Yep.
So it is, it'll have a little more sugar.
Well, we're relatively sweet.
Relatively sweet.
and that being largely a facet of we're going to be using a yeast strain that is going to ferment out less of the sugar, so we'll have relatively more sugar left over at the end of fermentation. And the fact that we're using a sugar, actually, in ours, which we're going to be making our own invert sugar, which is something that breweries would have been doing back at the time, that leaves a little bit of residual sweetness. It's sort of like a molasses-y flavor. So as Roger was saying, we're going to be closer to a British-style ale. And
right.
I mean, thinking back at the, like, looking to the pump station, our flagship beer is the Kick-Ass Brown Ale. And that beer is a pretty well-attenuated, like, relatively dry, I mean, malty by American drinking standards, but far less malt-forward than what we're looking for out of the Albany Ale.
And great beer. So let us talk also, the other issue that I wanted to talk to you about is the corn.
Yes.
So how does that, what is our relationship now with corn in beer and in this recipe?
Well, at the pump station, we use relatively little corn. I use it in regularly in our Capital Light, which is an American-style pilsner, and we use it in a few other beers. This project, corn was a much more popular grain in America. I don't want to say in the craft industry, but like the large breweries use it all the time now as it's super cheap and it makes that light corn lager. And when we look back prior to Prohibition and prior to these macro breweries, corn was just kind of readily available and like, oh, hey, it's got a lot of sugar and it ferments out. So we're using actually all New York State grains, and we're getting Dent corn from a farmer down in New York who supplies corn for the Albany Distilling Company.
Mm-hmm.
So this is actually a new form for me, or a new way to use corn, because typically we use gelatinized flaked corn,
mm-hmm.
Which is just really readily accessible. And this time we're going to be milling it and making a corn mash, which has to be mashed separately. And then we have to essentially cook it for a couple of hours, cereal mash, and then boil it up and then add it to our regular mash. So it's going to make the process a lot more involved, but it's, again, we're going back and looking, say, how was this beer brewed 100 years ago?
And the end product will be pretty historically accurate?
Yes.
Relatively, given that, with what we have to work with now. I mean, you know, there's been a lot of improvement on the grains. They have more enzymes in them now than they did. There's 110 years of the maltsters and grain growers breeding the, you know, for better strains and stuff. But yeah, it should be fairly close. They're going to use historic hops where possible.
All of them.
Okay.
100%.
So the whole thing is that we're also shooting for a New York, you know, typically what would have been a New York beer at the time, and using all New York products.
Oh, you just poured a beer. This is,
yes,
what?
This is our oatmeal stout. It's
okay.
Perfect for breakfast.
All right. I agree.
Yes.
It's excellent.
Thank you.
When we think of a New York beer now, I mean, do we have anything even close?
Sure, we got the pump station.
Yeah, we've got, I mean, there are a few breweries in New York, kind of under the guise of what the government's been pushing is this farm brewers legislation. So there's a couple of breweries that we have really local that are operating under the farm brewer legislation.
Right.
The Beer Diviner over in Bly Hollow, which is the other side of the river, is the guy I think of offhand.
There's a new one that just got his license called the Honey Hollow Brewery in Earlton. He's using, he's under the farm program.
And the farm program allows these brewers to go to farmers markets and sell their,
yes,
wares at those places.
Correct.
But for all intents and purposes, these are home brewers, right?
Yes, it depends. I mean, they're actually sort of, yes. It maybe a scale.
Seems very murky to me. I don't get it.
Well, some of these guys are making like only a barrel at a time, which is 30 something gallons. So that's within the range of what home brewers do,
right,
now make.
Right.
So it's not a big step to, you know, as far as equipment wise. But some of them are doing 5 barrels at a time, or even 10. So it depends on the individual company and what they're trying to do.
So there are companies rather than individuals who are doing it for fun.
Sure.
Yes.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, sometimes there's only one person in the company, but, right. you know, but sometimes there's more. I mean, it's just like any other other thing there. And there's actually quite a few other little breweries that we've been seeing come in that are getting ready to open up under the farm legislation. And it's quite exciting time to be involved with it. Yeah.
And when you think of that, well, I guess not just that legislation, but overall, how has that changed home brewing? I mean, it only made it more popular, I would guess.
There's been a positive feedback loop between craft brewing and home brewing for since the legislation in 78 made it legal. If you think of all the craft brewers, out there, they were all started by home brewers. And it's become more and more apparent to people. And yeah, the homebrew industry has been growing by leaps and bounds, 10-15% or more every year for the last 4 or 5 years. And a lot of people think brewers are rock stars now. I mean, you look at Garrett,
Oliver.
Garrett Oliver and
Ryan Demler.
Yeah.
Ryan Demler. He rocks, you know.
Shows every day at the pump station.
Because it is become this is one of those wonderful instances, and unfortunately I don't think we have enough of them in our culture where talent wins out, right?
Right.
That, yes. that I mean the product is what ultimately is selling this.
You're seeing the much heralded decline of the major breweries' market share. The loss is to craft brewers, and it's been beer consumption in the U.S. has been fairly flat the last couple of years, and there's been an enormous growth in craft brew, and so that's coming at the expense of the big boys, and it's nice to see the big boys. This is what it should be in the United States. You should have a lot of small businesses instead of these big giant guys that are running our lives.
Yeah.
And this gives people control, local, and you know exactly what you're getting.
Because when you back to the farmers markets and so forth, I mean this whole movement of buy local.
Yes.
This has been the craft brewery and craft brews mm-hmm. have been the sterling example of what this
exactly.
is all about.
Exactly, Joe.
So this project and unfortunately Alan or Craig weren't able to be with us today, but this whole project of the Albany Ale Project. Is one of research and one of interest and ultimately telling us a lot about this city and its mm-hmm. role in beer making and brewing.
Yep. Yeah, and they've got some really really interesting stuff on their blog sites. There they got some great information.
They have a new website that started yesterday,
yeah.
by the way, called albanyaleproject.com.
Right.
You can check out all
yep.
the stuff.
And Craig's is Drank One, and I forget what.
Alan's is
Alan's blog. They're both available though on the Albany Ale Project website.
Yeah.
So for you, Ryan, how much of this would? I mean, a lot of it when you're brewing something for the pump station, it comes out of what the public wants.
Yep.
But also some trial and error on your part of saying, you know, what will fly and what won't.
Right. Well,
I mean, you get to experiment a little bit, right?
A lot, actually. Ownership, Neil Evans, who's the fourth generation Cornelius, that's his name on the building, he gives me a lot of leeway, which is nice. So, I mean, I try to brew what people want, but at the end of the day, I always brew what I want. I like to have variety and options for myself. But, you know, we're dictated kind of by where the market is going or where trends are going. Mm-hmm. Really what we're trying to do is, I don't want to say be cutting edge, but do stuff that other people aren't quite doing and make sure that we're making quality product, whatever we're doing. And this Albany Ale Project is something that's really nice. You have Dogfish Head, who's digging up like 8,000-year-old beers, mm-hmm. and they're a great company, and I don't drink those beers. But we're looking at what we do indigenously. And, you know, when Craig came to me, it was kind of awesome. Like, oh, man, like Albany has this rich, amazing history of brewing ales and consuming them and exporting them. And C.H. Evans Brewing Company at the pump station, we've been around since 99, so we're the only brewery that's still in existence here in the city. it's a perfect fit. And it's a fun beer, and it was a cool recipe. And looking back at some of the other recipes that were historically brewed in Albany as well, these are projects that, you know, ultimately we're looking into, well, what did we brew back in the early 1800s, and what were we brewing when the Dutch first got here? And that's all something that Alan and Craig have gone deep into. But this first project for us, the Albany Double XL, originally brewed by Amstel, is kind of the easiest step for us to go back because it was the most modern beer, and it's most similar to types of ales that we'd be consuming now. But it's also, you know, this kind of Capital Region pride thing. I like Albany enough to have gone away twice and come back, and I've never been happier being here. And to be able to kind of showcase some of our unique brewing history and heritage is kind of nice.
So when you have this on tap, it will be Albany Double XL?
It will be Albany Ale. Albany Double XL is the Amstel beer. And in talking with Greg and kind of, Craig and looking at, you know, where we're going to go, it's the Albany Ale. And we will be, we're actually brewing it on Tuesday. Going to make some invert sugar this week. Going to roast some of our own malt in-house this week. And then we're going to be brewing it on Tuesday. And Craig's going to be by. And Roger's going to be by. And then we will be releasing it citywide on November 1st, which is nice. So we'll have a thing, and we should be out on Lark and out on Pearl and kind of out and about around town in Latham and some bars in Troy.
And aren't you, you know, you're opening, you're also introducing it through the Albany Institute.
Yes. The Albany Institute of History Art has been kind enough to curate these recipes for as long as they have and kind enough to give Craig and Alan and myself access to them. So a dollar from every pint that we sell at the pump station is going to go to the Albany Institute, and then 10% of all of our keg proceeds to or keg sales to other bars is also going to go to the Albany Institute. And I mean, they're a great organization. We go down there once or twice a year for some events. So that's another nice thing for us to be able to do is we're brewing a historic Albany beer. We're giving back to the people who are, you know, doing a great job of curating Albany's history.
I just want to get back to the, and that's wonderful. I do want to get back real quick to this idea of the market, and what they demand. It seems I was just at a beverage center this weekend, and it seemed like every small brewery, every craft brewer had a pumpkin ale,
yes,
something or another,
seasonal stuff. Yeah.
Seasonal stuff. So you have to. I mean, I assume you have to do that, or
yes,
you're not in the game, right?
You know, and Sam Adams released their Oktoberfest in July, to which I have to say, Oktoberfest doesn't start until the end of September. Our Oktoberfest comes on tap at the end of September.
Well, the Summer Ale comes out in February,
right.
So the October Ale, the Oktoberfest comes out in June or July, right?
And it's true, especially with the distributed craft beers, we have to get our season a little bit earlier and build up that demand. And I want to use stuff that's in season. So a pumpkin ale, like, oh, well, what pumpkins are you using in August? So we get our pumpkins from local farmers. The kitchen staff roast them off for me. So
most of them, to me, just sound like
spice.
Taste like nutmeg.
Yeah. It's mostly nutmeg or Jamaican allspice or something.
When people think of pumpkin beer, what they're thinking of is pumpkin pie and the spices.
Right.
Pumpkin tastes like squash. So if it was just pumpkin in there, it you would not think it was a pumpkin ale.
Right.
So a more autumnal in season, you will have some sort of pumpkin ale?
Yes. Mm-hmm. We did an Imperial Pumpkin Stout last year, and we're doing it again because it was awesome.
Oh, stout.
Yes.
Ooh.
And not enough people do pumpkin stouts. And I will also say, like, I think there's enough really good pumpkin beers out there that we don't need to do a lot of pumpkin beers here. So if people want to get their pumpkin fill, you can go and get your pumpkin or your pumpkin or whatever other funny punny names they have. But, you know, we have ours on. And again, for me, it's what are people not doing and where can we fill a void? It's the same for many other styles. Huge IPAs they have on all the time. You know,
right,
we don't necessarily need to do that. Sometimes we do. And actually, ironically enough, we've had one on almost all summer. So I kind of feel like a jerk saying that.
They're so popular, the IPAs, you just have to have one.
Yeah.
So,
Because people come in, they expect it.
Right. And we don't need to be at the front wave of every seasonal. I just want to make sure that we're hitting the season and our beers are better.
But you have a lot of different beers, so you have, you can always have some standbys and then,
We got
room to range other places.
Right. We got 10 taps, so it's good.
the Albany Ale Project's new website is albanyaleproject.com. Albanyaleproject.com, the site revolves around the history of brewing and beer making in the city of Albany. Roger and Ryan, I thank you very much for being with us. You can find more out about Hennessy Homebrew by going to your website.
Beerbrew.com, and it's just Homebrew Emporium. We Hennessy is no longer.
Okay, excellent. I apologize
That's
for that.
Right. No problem.
and then yours is Evans.
Evansbrewing.com.
Evansbrewing.com. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank
I appreciate
you very
it.
Much.
Pleasure as always, Joe.
You want me to go right into the intro? Okay, we'll take a break and we'll be back and say goodbye. You're listening to the Roundtable on WAMC.